Welcome everybody to another episode of the Real Mentors Podcast. We got a special episode with special guests or guests depending on who shows up or who doesn't. Of course, as always, ready to talk movies, TV, and have some fun along the way. Today we get into Straight Cash, homie, media recommendations, and a couple of happy hosts, which we'll get into, and some tough decisions to be made here. We'll get into that and much more. Of course, let's make the rounds here, starting with the man beast himself, the head of the girlslife.com studios, Mr. Mike Rowe.
What up?
Wow, old references from an old man.
Sorry, man.
That was terrible.
It's almost the football best you season.
Got, dude. That's the best you got, dude. And football Listen, season, this is embarrassing.
At least I didn't say hey now this time, which is going back to the Gary Shandling show. So
I prefer hey now than over was that. Oh, what's that?
I didn't do the tongue thing, though.
I prefer anything over what. Just saying.
It could be way worse, bro.
Well, fair enough. Of course, we also have joining us live from Houston, the big brother himself, Chewy. How you doing, brother?
What's going on, ladies?
How's it going over there?
Man.
You ready?
Keeping it
ready
real, for man. Keeping it real.
This Funko behind us.
Cute. Damn right.
Don't hate the Funko, dude.
Exactly, dude, man.
Look, Girls Life's going to start.
Don't hate Mr. Meeseeks, dude. Look at me.
Although he just showed me a Funko of Iron Fist. I don't know why, dude.
That's awesome, dude.
That's so necessary. That's entirely unnecessary in a one.
Honor of the new of the season two coming out in 2 weeks.
I mean, if you got it for free, you found it on the floor, fine.
Bought it. I don't want to hear it. Be quiet.
And of course, we'll introduce the first of our special guest host today. Of course, he's a friend of the show. He's been on there several times. Mr. Top 10 himself. The man affectionately known as Lopez. How you doing, brother?
Hey, thanks, gentlemen. Thanks for inviting me on again. It's been such a long time that I feel like a virgin again.
Okay. Well, now you know
how George feels.
TMI. And keep it family-friendly, please.
That's true. Jose has not joined us since we've gone to this new Skype format, I guess. It's been a while. It's good to have Lopez on here, you know, and we were going to have, and we still may, I don't know, the Spaniard joining us again and kind of do a kind of throwback Tuesday since we're recording this on a Tuesday. But whatever. We'll see if he shows up. When he doesn't, it's George. Everybody knows him, knows. Should not be surprised that he has not arrived yet on the scene. But again, the show must go on, so let's begin here. And I got some breaking news I kind of want to touch on. I got a text, like, about 10 minutes before I jumped on with talking about some other stuff, but a friend of mine got a picture of a movie being shot, and which already I'm putting this movie at the top of the list next year, ahead of Avengers, ahead of Star Wars.
Oh, slow your roll, dude.
I'm just saying, dude, because the picture was, I guess, they were filming John Wick 3. I don't know how he got this photo.
Nice.
And the picture is, and I have it somewhere, not that the audience can see it, but the picture is of him, I guess, in the streets of New York or wherever they're at. I'm not sure exactly what city it is, but I'm sure you can see here. He is on a horse next to a guy on a motorcycle, and he's shooting him right in the head. Dude,
put that on the Facebook page, please. That's hilarious.
Genius. I'm going to put it on Facebook. It's amazing, dude. John Wick on a horse is already the greatest thing. It's better than Thanos, dude. It's better than Kylo Ren, dude. There's no match, dude.
The only thing better would be his dog biting the guy as he shoots him in the head from the horse.
Say it again. You broke up, dude.
I said the only thing better would be his dog biting the guy while he shoots him in the head from the horse.
That would be kind of cool. Maybe the dog's behind him. I don't know. Maybe the dog's chasing him on the motorcycle.
The dog's riding a horse, too.
We're taking a picture out of context. We don't know what the whole scene is like. But I saw the picture, dude. That's awesome. That's phenomenal. I can't wait. But I saw that, like, you know, that's right before we went on air. I thought it was amazing.
Phenomenal.
It is phenomenal.
I can't wait.
And I kind of wish George, you know, George is here. He'd be really excited right now because they just announced 10-year anniversary of Twilight, and they're coming back in theaters. Maybe that's why. Maybe George is waiting in line right now. I think George is getting tickets. That's why he didn't join the show. He's on Fandango. He's getting advanced seats. Really? Does Twilight merit theater showing here? Seriously?
No.
Twilight? Oh, God. It's embarrassing. Dude.
What's, no what comment.
What is better, Twilight or The Hunger Games?
Oh, for a minute, if I said number one was better.
to say which is better, Twilight 1 or 2? The Hunger Games, dude. It's not even close.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not even close. Yeah, that's not, yeah.
Both.
Take the bullet, guys.
Take both today.
Right.
Jose taking the bullet? Really, dude? I don't know, dude.
Hunger Games wasn't bad.
I don't know if I believe that.
Hunger Games wasn't bad. It wasn't bad.
I liked Hunger Games.
Yeah,
one was great.
It was just okay.
Two was good. Fine. And then three
I liked
four,
it when it was called Battle
this
Royale.
This messed up with trying to make it into two movies. But
no, that's fine. That too. But you know what? Hey, it wasn't bad. It's way, way better than Twilight, dude. Like, come on now.
Well, by far, dude. By
all
far.
I'm saying is that is kind of like not the first time we've seen a movie like that. Like, Fortnite type movie, so whatever. Hello.
Oh, that's fair. Oh, you're back, Mike. Mike was—he was about to get into Serendipity and the anniversary of that too coming up.
Sweet.
But either way, so Lopez, what's new with you, man? We haven't caught up in a while. I haven't seen you in a while, unfortunately.
That's true.
What's going on? Talk about you and what have you seen lately? What's going on? What have you seen on TV? What have you seen in movies? What stood out?
Okay. Well, let's see. Lately, I've been watching a lot of Netflix. And
of course.
That last thing I caught was Orange and the New Black, the new season. So I finished that. I've been meaning to go back and do some of the things that you guys have seen recently and catch up on Ozark and things like that.
Yes.
So the last movie I saw was actually an old film.
What was that?
Under the Skin by the Scarlett
Johansson.
Under the Scarlett Johansson, right. So it just showed up on Netflix, and I'm like, oh, cool. I've never seen this. And supposedly, you know, you got that famous nude scene and oh my god, it took me like 2 days to watch it because it was so boring.
was the nude scene worth it? Was the TNA worth 2 days? Okay, I didn't think so.
Not at all.
You could have gone on Mr. Skin or just Google the picture. You probably would have seen it. Would have saved you 2 hours of your life, dude. You know, that's two episodes. Two episodes of Ozark you could have seen, dude.
For real.
That's true. That's so true.
Granted, no TNA in Ozark, but that's okay. And season two is coming on this weekend, so we'll get into that. But that's a great, that's a really good show, Jose. Obviously, if you haven't caught up with that one,
absolutely.
What about theater wise? Have you seen anything in the theater lately? Or
no, not me. There hasn't been anything worth going to the movies for. So,
damn. Not any Mission Impossible?
Oh no, that's right. I have seen Mission Impossible.
Okay.
That was the last thing I saw, actually. Yeah.
Okay, that was only a couple weeks ago, so it wasn't that long ago. Or 2 or 3 weeks
ago.
Yeah,
that was a couple weeks ago. But nothing since. So.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, nothing's really come out that's been worth anything, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It's the time of the year, and the movie news reflects that. It's like the off-season. It's before free agency starts and yada, yada. Once, I think, September rolls around, we start getting into the Halloween stuff. We got, of course, all the Oscar stuff coming out. And you got that Toronto Film Festival, I think, is next week. It's coming pretty soon. So we hear all the buzz and independent shit coming out. So I'm excited about that. So we'll have more to get into. But I found this to be funny because obviously, you know, with Jose and you know and Chewy, obviously we all go way back. And George, if he would have been here, George. But I read an article recently. They were talking to Mark Edmonds. And for those who know who he is, if I'm not mispronouncing his name, he is one of the programmers, co-creators of GoldenEye.
Of course, the classic N64.
Yes.
The true classic N64 multi-shooter that started the trend.
That started the trend. One of the greatest games of all time. Of course, multiplayer. I mean, we all remember those days. Lopez, we were in college, if I'm not mistaken, throwing it down, drinking at the same time. So they're talking to him and all that.
Many times, yes.
Oh my god! For days and hours, that was worth not seeing Ozark.
One shot, slappers, short round, golden gun.
You mean Odd Job? Short round. Is that Indiana Jones?
Sorry, wrong guy.
You call him Dr. Jones.
Dr. Jones. wrong game, dude. but Never. Odd Job, and funny enough, oddly enough, pun intended. He finally let it out. He finally admitted. He finally came out and confessed. That Odd Job, choosing Odd Job, is actually cheating. confirmed. That was always a big thing where, because he's really short, he can't aim at his head and yada, yada, yada. And no one liked him when you chose him, but everybody wanted to choose him, of course, because it was an advantage. But he came out, program came out straight up. He's like, yeah, he's cheating. So I was like, there, finally, after, what, 20 years? Of this, how long? How was that game? I don't even know. That game's like 25 years old. For Christ, goddamn old. Jesus.
392.
No, we're on college.
Sorry, wrong. Yeah, 95, 94, 95. I think
95. So Mike was 40. What? Mike 7?
47. Yeah.
40. Okay. Okay. So I know I did the math right. So. I'm like Rain Man, getting good at this math, dude.
That's right. Absolutely.
Mike, did you play? Did you play GoldenEye, Mike?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So you went too old for that yet?
No.
That was a great game, man. We were
for video games, bro. You know that.
That's fair. I'll give you that. I would like to see a GoldenEye be remade, though.
Well, I don't think you can rekindle that magic, because that was a first. In all honesty, it was a first. At least, I mean, I wasn't a PC guy, but as far as on console systems, that was the first. You know, more than two-player shooting game, and that's obviously it's nostalgic. But it has, you know, when you're the first, you're gonna stick out from every other game that came out after that. And there were so many iterations and so many B and C games that tried to copy or mimic the magic of GoldenEye. It's to try to remake it now or modernize it. I mean, there's so much out there now. I don't know if you could capture that magic again. Oh, you have it can't be the same. You have to make something unique or different. And that's very difficult to do with an established title like that from so long ago.
Yeah, I'll give you that. And actually, was that? I'm trying to remember. That came out after the movie, no? Am I wrong in that?
Yeah. That came out. That was a movie tie-in. What it was at okay, that
yeah.
time.
Yeah, well,
we came
out then, the first Bond.
Yeah. So with Pierce Brosnan, and then they I guess Nintendo, they made license it and got the rights to it and developed that game.
Oh, but on that aspect, I mean, GoldenEye is one of the best of all time. You're right about that. Yeah. I'll go around the room here. I just started this now. The GoldenEye is not the greatest game of all time. Maybe it is. I don't know.
Wow.
Going around here, starting with Lopez, what is the best game ever that you played anyway? I'll rephrase.
Oh, me? Going back to the Sega CD, Sega. Eternal Champions has to be the best.
Wow. Yeah. I remember absolutely. That game, too. It's a game that many people know about. It was a fighting game. I remember that. That was a great game. Again, actually, we were in college as well, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. I remember. I think I was in Gainesville. It came out in the summertime.
That was the one. That was like riding the coattails of Street Fighter, right?
Yeah, of course.
So that was like the next generation of cooler graphics, more realistic, more things to do.
With the fatalities. In
the vein of Mortal Kombat. Okay.
Of course. Of course. I mean, I remember I was in Gainesville. I was doing summer school. And this is a time when video games weren't, you know, you couldn't just go anywhere and buy it. I don't think there was no GameStop, nothing like that, if I'm not mistaken. But,
no, there was this
place, I think Lopez, you know, Jerry, of course, and he was living in Orlando at the time. And there was this place where you can go trading games before you can trade in games. This is the only place that you can trade in games and get it cheap, whatever. So I had to drive down 2 hours to go to Orlando to buy a damn game. That's how much I want. It's like, all right, I was supposed to drive. I fucking went 2 hours, go see Jerry, get drunk, come back and play Eternal Champions. Everyone wins. Mike, what was the best game for you, man?
I have a bunch, but I think the one that really I connected with where I was, like, totally into and couldn't stop playing was probably the first Resident Evil.
It's a good choice. That's a good choice. It's a landmark game.
Yeah,
I love Resident Evil. Yeah, I think that was the first game I got for PlayStation.
Right, and the first game that I played where was Halo was the first one that I kind of connected with other people and started playing all over the place.
Oh, Halo was amazing.
Or we would just Halo parties and like play.
Halo took what GoldenEye did and took it to a new level. Essentially,
right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you knew 16 players and you can play online. They hacked into it. They had an online mode and whatever.
Right.
We used to have tournaments. Well, I used to work in GameStop back in the day. We had tournaments inside the store while the store was still open, of course.
Shenanigans.
Oh, my God, yeah. We had cables running across, and the customers couldn't walk, and we would tell them to leave. We're in the middle of a tournament. The store's still open, mind you. We don't got time for you. We don't got time to make money here. We got to play Halo.
What do you got there? Five games? Five? I'll give you $2.50.
I know. Chewy, what about you, man? What's your standout?
I'm giving you two because I kind of separate consoles from the games I played at the arcade when that was still a thing. Yeah. Obviously it's not what it is back in the day, but back in college when NBA Jam came out, I could not get enough because obviously, I had more affinity to sports games, especially in the multiplayer genre, and that game was just so much fun, so easy to play.
What was your team? Was that? What team did you play?
Oh, I don't know. I think I played a lot with Orlando because of Shaq.
Shaq and Penny,
Shaq and Penny.
Of course. It didn't have Jordan in it. There was no Jordan.
Jordan didn't sign with them.
No, I think that the Charlotte was a good one. I had Grandmama. Morning. I was on there.
You can go Muggsy or Morning, whichever. So that was some good taste, but that was just a great, fun, play four quarters and have at it and get bragging rights. On the console itself, the one game that still sticks out, I'm talking about like modern generation stuff, is probably, when I got the Xbox and I got hooked into Gears of War. I mean, that for me, that was like, there was a lot of shooters at the time we'd play come from the GoldenEye generation and all these other games. But then, a game changer at that time was definitely Gears of War, and the style, the look, the play, the feel, and what you could and couldn't do with your players. That for me was like outstanding. That's still, I was still around today, and I could pick up and play and to my heart's content. Absolutely.
No, Gears was great. Yeah. No, that's actually a good choice. I didn't think about that one, and both of them really. And NBA Jam was amazing. That was such a fun game.
That was so much.
That was really good.
As far as arcade games, that's my boo too, man. I played that for probably 2 years straight.
I would say arcade. I have to say Street Fighter 2. That's a landmark game. I mean, obviously, I played that for years. We still play it now. They got iterations. I mean, that game's been around since 1991, for Christ's sake, and it's still
Super
going
Ultimate
on.
Edition.
Yeah, and it led to Turbo.
But the names of players, y'all know Blanca, y'all know Bison,
Ryuken.
Yeah.
Everybody knows all that, it's just iconic. It's iconic. And it opened the doors to all, like, it was like the floodgates opened up with Mortal Kombat and Killer Instinct and whatever, Time Splitter, Eternal Champions,
Pit Fighter,
and yada. I mean, there was so many iterations of that version of a fighting game. The console missed so many, but our standout would be Metal Gear. The first one that really gave us the cinematic, quote unquote, experience in a video game. To say opening credits and the characters and the backstory, fantastic, and all the ones I love.
You
had
to sneak around. It wasn't just run and gun, go mending. I mean, sneak around, hide, wait, patience. Go behind them, choke them. I mean, it was
totally Metal different. Gear, yeah, exactly.
The story was outstanding. Exactly. I mean, that was like watching a movie. Oh, and beside that, I come play a little bit of video game in between.
Exactly. Because every character had depth to his background, has a true narrative. It was great. I mean, we had never seen anything like that before in a video game. They've all been in the first one. But that's a good game. I really wish they remake the first one because it's just so great. But yeah, let's move on here. Let's get to some of the crappy stuff before we do a little game here. We got some What the Fudge, and it's not Game of Thrones being delayed again. I don't even want to touch that.
That's a raw nerve.
That 3-second snip wasn't worth the delay.
Whatever.
I'm seriously? That's what's gonna tease me with 3 seconds? Not even 3 seconds. A hug? Really?
They just gave us the title. They didn't first put a title. It said Game Of, and it cut.
Yeah.
I think they said that it's coming out. I think they're trying to snatch Emmy stuff. Mm. So what happened is that the Emmys, they close up on May 31st. So that they're my thought process. They're probably going to release it after May 31st to qualify for the Emmys coming.
Because
it's not going to be ready by – they're still doing post-production. It's not going to be ready by April. So they start releasing it now. They can't. There's not enough time and figure why we'll just wait till next year and can't cash in on the glory. So, whatever. What it is. Okay. But I do have a What the Fudge here. This is in line. We got on the Mount Rushmore, people who just don't know how to shut the hell up, besides Jodie Foster and Luc Besson, of course, who we've spoken about before. But Mr.
USA.
Hawk, Ethan Hawke. Ethan Hawke, is that his name? No.
Ethan Hawke.
Yeah, okay. Who I like it. He's a good actor. And I guess he was coming out, and he had mentioned he has seen Logan or whatever. And he's hating. He's the forefront of Haters Corner. you know, which Mike is very familiar with, of course.
Yes.
And he came out and he was talking about how he wanted to see Logan as everybody was talking and hyping it up and blah, blah, blah. And he didn't say it was bad. He said it was good. He said it was overhyped. He said, in essence, he said, and it's a direct quote, he said, it's a good superhero movie, but it's not a great film. And I forgot who he compared it to. It's not art or whatever. Something along those. I'm paraphrasing here. Pretty much bashing, not just, he said, it's a guy, it's guys in tights and with claws, and that you can't consider that a serious filmmaking, something along those lines, I'm saying. And so he's another one. And we've heard it before, people just like, Jodie Foster is one of them, of course, talking about superhero movies shouldn't be taken as seriously as
James Cameron
films. James Cameron, yes, another one, yeah, another member of the Haters Club. Which I think is completely inaccurate, completely. Because, I mean, he's talking about, you know, knives and the tights. And you know, just last year, who won Best Picture? Way about a woman who slept with a merman. I mean, yeah, that's not exactly realistic filmmaking either. Merman, it's fantasy. I mean, let's be realistic. You know, it's art, quote unquote, whatever you want to call it.
A merperson.
A merman, whatever. Be PC correct about it. So, you know, I don't want to... You know,
it's a bloody fish.
So I'll toss it. I mean, Lopez, I know you're shaking your head. Obviously, you don't agree with his assessment of the superhero genre. And it not being, like, you can't get a great film out of a superhero movie.
I think he misses the point completely. You know, the underlying themes of, and especially in Logan, he missed it completely. So, it's not a movie about superheroes. It's about, you know, him trying, you know, getting old and knowing that, you know, he's susceptible to getting injured, finding a girl that, you know, he considers to be like his daughter. So he misses the point completely. So, yeah, absolutely.
There's a lot of tones of fatherhood, yeah, meeting your own mortality and stuff like that. So I completely agree. And it's like, it's just, and it's the kind of thing where, you know, we talked about the Oscars on last show, where they're doing a popular category, so they can put movies like that in there, and it's don't get me wrong, not all superhero movies are great, obviously we know that, some are just superhero movies, agreed, but every so often we do get a Dark Knight, you know, we do get a Logan, for example, the movies that obviously take it beyond the genre and give it something special, and it is possible. I mean, when you automatically pigeonhole these movies in a certain section, they're never going to be taken seriously. I know Disney's pushing Black Panther. That to me was a superhero movie, to be honest with you. I liked it a lot, but it's not worthy of Oscar nomination, in my opinion. Chewie, your thoughts?
I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, I honestly don't care what genre it is, as long as it tells me a story that I care about, or I'm entertained, or it makes me feel something about, care about the characters or the content. And that to me, that's what a movie is, at the end of the day, what it's about. And not just about artistic, and it's not about, you know, taking it to a place, making you feel something, good or bad, and you come out with a smile or with a tear or whatever. But that's the whole point of movie. It's entertainment, right?
Of course.
And whether it's, you know, you can look at art in the same fashion. If it moves you, if it makes you feel something, then that's its purpose. It's not art for art's sake.
Exactly. It doesn't have to be, you know.
It doesn't have to be dramatic, or it has to do this.
It can
or has
be,
to
of
do
course.
That.
It can have elements of all that stuff. I think some superhero movies do that. And just fantasy, sci-fi, they all do that. You know, even in sci-fi, it gets to shorten the stick sometimes. And we've seen that before.
They don't think it's real. You know, it's part of the. They lump it into a realm of fantasy, and fantasy can't be taken seriously, or can't be artistic because it's fantasy. Well, that's not the point. Art is fantasy. All art is fantasy. It's not real. It's make believe.
It's not fantasy football. Then they get confused.
Yeah, well, yeah, yes, that's true.
Mike, I know you're an outside on this.
Right.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm just saying. I really don't
man
have any comments.
You were.
It's stupid, and you know it's a statement to make, and I disagree with it. But there are movies that aren't any good that are in the superhero genre. So, I mean...
There are, obviously. There.
Yeah, we so, I mean, you know, whatever. But for him to say that that's not art, I mean, it's just... he's just sore because he hasn't been in a movie that made money in probably 10 years.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guarantee you if they came up to him and offered him whatever, Green Lantern, he'd jump all over. Right. Here's $10 million. Okay, what do I sign? Of course he would.
Of course
he would. Yeah, I don't want to. It's nonsense. I don't want to hear
sour grapes from people. I mean, all these he's
probably too old now to be in. Well, you know.
I like Ethan Hawke, too. I mean, I think he's done some good movies.
And he's done a fair amount of sci-fi fantasy movies, man.
Oh, he's in one of my favorite movies.
Gattaca is amazing. Happy Destination. He's done a couple of vampire movies. I mean, come on, man.
Oh, no, he's done his fair share of it. Yeah, maybe it is sour grapes. I don't know. And this great actor. We've seen Michael Douglas. You know, he's in Ant-Man, of course. Lawrence Fishburne's all over the place. But he's a good actor, obviously. Robert Downey Jr. No, great actors do this shit. Yeah, you're right. It's probably sour grapes. He's not getting those roles. And he's like, okay. And Ethan Hawke, you're right. He hasn't made a popular movie. I can't remember the last time he made a popular. He's made good movies.
When's the last movie he made, though, that made money?
That's the thing. I don't know. I couldn't think of
it. I'd have to look, but I'm just saying.
I'm not sure if any of our listeners,
you know, if you want to chime in sometime or put it on the website, you know, there you go. Homework.
I'll see what, because I'm kind of curious what was his last big movie, but either way, but I do like him. He's just being an asshole. it's just basically what it is. A couple other small tidbits here, and we'll save this one. Disney. And I guess they may have announced the name of the streaming service, calling it Disney Play. I guess I'm not sure if that's gonna be it. I guess it sounds like a take on derivative of Google Play. It really is. Like I said, it's not confirmed. That's what it seemed like, and they had on some website, but I'm not sure. But they announced the price point more or less, where they said it's gonna be less than Netflix for whatever that's worth.
All right.
So like I think they were gunning for a $10 monthly rate, which is not bad, not bad. Lopez, would you get this? I know your kids are, but would you get Disney streaming? Because they're going to offer some original content, whether it be like Lady and the Tramp and other movies coming down the road, Star Wars, the Star Wars series or whatever.
It's got to be depending on what type of original content or whatever they're bringing out. That would then entice me. But besides that, no, not really. I wouldn't shell out $10 or whatever it is. Think of $120 a year, whatever.
It's not a bad price. It's not a bad price, though.
Right. I mean, not to interrupt, Jose, but I just figured out why he's got sour grapes.
What happened?
He was in Valerian.
Oh, my God. That's right. Wait, who was he in Valerian, though?
I can't remember.
His character in Valerian was Jolly the Pimp.
Wow.
Yeah. No cameo, yeah. I mean, it was a cameo. More a cameo than anything else, dude.
And who directed Valerian?
Luc Besson.
It's a full circle, baby.
Les Blues.
It's all the pieces coming. The mystery's being solved here. Good job, Mike.
I couldn't let that get by, man.
That's a good tidbit, though. I like that.
To finish up. So if this would have come out maybe 5 years ago, then more than likely yes. When my kids were younger, absolutely.
Right. Yeah. No. Okay. So I figured. Chewy, you getting it for $10 or whatever, 10 to 12, whatever.
I mean, this starts to add up quick, man. I'm like, what the fudge, right? Dude?
It's like getting cable over again, dude. I swear to God, dude.
Well, I mean, I'm paying for cable, so I'm like, what the hell, man?
I'm thinking about it.
It depends. I mean, it's got to be. I'm not buying it or paying for it. I don't want to see. I don't care about the Star Wars movies. I don't care about the Disney collection. I don't care a rat's ass about that. I care about as much as about the next another solo movie. All right.
Damn.
But you know, it's got to be. If they're gonna be original shows and original Star Wars, not just one show. I mean, you got to throw some spaghetti and give me, you know, make it worth my while. You know, I'm not getting DC Universe, whatever that's called, because of that one show. That's all it is. Pass.
And that should look terrible.
But no thanks. Yeah.
But I mean, from what the execs were saying, they were talking about, they were gonna progress slowly and see how it goes. So we're not gonna get a lot. It's not gonna be a lot of original content on the service. I think it's gonna be primarily the catalog of obviously a plethora of movies I have over the years. Classics.
If it's gonna be less than Hulu, then I'm not interested.
I think I wouldn't get it, Mike. I mean, just Star Wars, because I was thinking about it. Even Star Wars, I love Star Wars. I get it. And let's assume it comes out and Star Wars is the only original show minus a couple of small things for whatever. It's not enough for me. I'm not getting it.
Nope.
I have to hear Star Wars is the greatest show of all time for me to say, okay, yeah, fine. Let me just
but
get
this
it.
Is like, the same, just like the DC streaming service, right? I mean, it's to me, I just don't think there's enough content that they can give me that's going to make me want to buy it.
No. Disney's got a better chance down the road.
They do, but they gotta go out and probably buy more properties. I mean, they have to. I know they own ABC or ABC's part of their family, so I mean,
well, they got Fox coming aboard, but
right, but they could technically offer yeah. that and probably the 30 for 30 stuff on ESPN.
And that's yeah, enough. They gotta come. They gotta give us.
I really pass now.
Yeah, they gotta give
well,
us. Like,
that's all I'm saying. There's
lot of
really
content.
Not a lot of friggin' content outside
no,
of Disney.
Even for 10
shit.
Bucks, yeah.
I
just Star Wars.
Star Wars, but I mean, really? There's how many TV shows has Star Wars spawned? Two? Three? I mean,
well we count the animated, yeah.
If you want to count the Lego stuff, all I'm saying is that, you know, if you're selling me on one fucking TV, excuse my French, on one TV show that Star Wars, and I'm going to pay $12.99 a month for a 4K Disney streaming service, no thank you. I'll wait to find it by other nefarious means.
Right? Busy.
Right.
I agree. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's not for one show. $10 a month for one show is not worth it. So
right.
Obviously, it's going to be launched next year at some point. We'll see what the announced content is going to be. But at least from a price perspective.
If it's just one show, I'll wait for it to drop, pay my $10, binge it, and shut off the service.
Here's my thing. We talked about this before, dude. This is why I can't understand what DC's thinking either, is why wouldn't they, won't they make more money selling, like, the rights to different things, to Netflix or to other streaming services that would get them, you know, a lot more money, you know, piece by piece?
It depends, I guess. I'm not sure, you know, the logistics with the, you know, as far as the monetary involvement is, and what these shows go for, as far as what the rights, I have no idea. I mean, Netflix, I don't know. We've seen them pay a bunch of money for the rights of movies and TV shows, stuff like that. I just don't know. I don't know. Maybe they feel like make more money. I mean, at the end of the day, with the streaming service, I mean, $7-$8 a month, and they get, you know,
yeah,
I don't
but
know
how much
what.
Is that. Look at what Netflix is laying down for just total shit.
Well, they spend buku dollars, and we know that. But they make tons of money too.
But they're making money.
Yeah, they're making money.
But on the flip side. On the flip side, look at Hulu, where they're hemorrhaging money.
Yeah.
They are hemorrhaging money.
They're hemorrhaging money because not only do they have to pay all these different networks the rights to broadcast their shit.
They're not getting the subscriptions in order to make it profitable. 20 million people ain't going to sustain it. Sorry.
And at least, from what I understand, like at least 75 million over long term.
Yes.
To get that consistent membership of $10 a month and blah, blah, blah.
But like I say, the other part of that is that they're paying all these different networks to use their crap, their utter crap. Most of the stuff on regular broadcast TV now, outside of probably 12 or 13 TV shows that I can name, is junk. I mean, do you really want? Are you going to pay for a Hulu subscription so you can watch House Hunters?
No, I would pay to get the original stuff, good stuff. Or even if I cut my cord, then yeah, because there's certain shows that I'm
going to watch.
Yeah,
but they're paying for HGTV. They're paying for TLC.
Yeah, but
they're paying for junk.
Look
like
at that versus actually paying to produce that show. It's pennies on the dollar, man. Okay,
they're not
losing money because of that. They're just losing money because not enough people are interested in seeing their content or the repeats of broadcast TV. Yet.
Right, right. But that's what I'm saying is about 99% of the and watching commercials during the broadcast too, which I thought was a huge miscalculation on their part.
I actually don't mind it because I don't pay for that. I don't mind the 30-second breaks. I mean, I just whatever. To me that's not a turnoff, but that's just me.
What are you paying a month? $8.99? Is that what you pay?
No, it comes free with my phone. So.
Okay. But would you pay for it?
No wonder.
Would you pay for it?
I didn't before because I don't think there was enough content, and I've just verified that because I looked at all the original shows, and the only ones that I've seen are The Handmaid's Tale, which I like. That's one show. I caught that special, that 11/22/63, which was okay. It was okay.
All right, the James Franco.
The Abrams Stephen King one.
The first three or four episodes are really good, and then it went in the crapper.
I've been watching all the episodes of Rick and Morty because I love Rick and Morty. Okay, but that's not original. That's from, you know, Adult Swim. I watched The Runaways. It was entertaining. Whatever, Marvel show. That's it. I'm not interested in any other original shows from the Hulu yet. So this is not enough there.
It all adds up. I mean, Lopez, you pay for cable, right?
Yeah, I pay for cable. So I'm not a Hulu subscriber.
Right, but you just got Netflix. Just Netflix. Do you do Amazon Prime or no?
No, just Netflix. I should do Amazon Prime, but we don't. So just Netflix and cable. That's what we do.
Amazon
Prime is the best deal in town, dude. What I save on shipping for my two free shipping pays for it in spades.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And you, awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, and you get all the free all the
you get free books. You get some free shows, some good shows.
They got some good movies too.
There's movies that they show that are pretty damn good.
Oh, no, they have a lot of classic, good stuff.
They
a lot
make
of
it such a
there.
Great value. It's like, you know, you know, why not? I mean, you're getting value, yeah. Right? Whereas Disney or DC, oh, here's a couple shows and here's $10 a month. What the hell? Kind of Amazon is giving me shows and free shipping, movies, TV, books I can rent every month for free. I'm like, yeah, hello.
it's worth the whatever, $120 a year, whatever. And I forget what the price is. But yeah, so. Let's see. I mean, I'm sure we'll get more of Disney when obviously they announce the scheduling as far as shows and what's going to be on there. I don't foresee myself getting it at all. Unless, again, Star Wars
I'm
has
not
to be
interested
the.
In it.
I have to hear the amazing things out of the show for me to consider getting the thing on. So, but let's move on here. Speaking of DC, we mentioned this, and I'll say this first. I finally, because I haven't this year. Seen, there's always a small movie that comes out that I see, I recommend. It's like, oh man, finally. And it hasn't been one this year at all. Like, one that, like, that's worth discussing or talking about. I did see one the other day. Joaquin Phoenix, who obviously we all know is one of the 8,000 Joker movies coming out next year. And he started a movie called You Were Never Really Here. And I don't know if anybody's seen it. It's very small. It was an Amazon Studios film. They put out there. It got some good reviews. I jumped on it. So let me watch. I've been trying to watch it for the last 2-3 months. I finally sat down and watched it. It's really good, dude. It's Phoenix in Oscar-worthy performance.
Wow.
He's great. And I see that. I'm thinking, oh, dude, I so see him doing a Joker. It's not even funny. I mean, I just, wow. Because it's a very, he plays it's a small film. It's about, he's like, they don't really say what his background, but what he does currently, he goes out and he gets hired to rescue missing girls and whatever. And on the low, and he's very brutal in his tactics and what he does, and he does whatever he can to get save the girls from where they're at. He got hired by a senator because his daughter's missing, and it goes from there. But Joaquin Phoenix's character is very dark. He's got PTSD. He's a former veteran, and he's got some issues, traumatic issues from his childhood and all that. It's not funny. It's an amazing character study, and the movie's not for everybody. But this is a good change of pace from what we normally talk about as far as the big action, big blockbuster. We love all that garbage, of course we do. But this movie, direction is spot on, dude. They did such a good job putting you in his shoes. You feel as confused, as dark as he does in the movie, and it's really, really strong film. I saw that, I'm like, dude, I can't wait for the Joker now. I'm super excited. Because he's a great actor, we know that. But this movie, I see if you just change a couple of things, it's so nuanced and it's very quiet performance. It's fantastic, dude. It's really, like I said, we may not like it. It's different. But I think it's worth checking out if you guys get a chance to rent it. That's a big recommendation for this year. Huge. And you may hear Oscar out of this. I really honestly believe that. But that being said, obviously leading into the Joker, they just announced Alec Baldwin. This cast is lining up pretty well because as Zazie Beetz, whatever her name is, who was in Deadpool 2, who I really liked. Alec Baldwin playing Thomas Wayne, playing the father. Interesting. The genius Alec Baldwin, who I love. He's amazing. He's fucking awesome. but I mean, Alec Baldwin, we got Alec Baldwin. Alec Baldwin is genius, dude. What's the guy from Glow? Maron? Is that his name?
Mark Maron. Yeah.
He's also been cast in this movie as well. So the cast is around. You got De Niro. Who I understand is being looked at to be cast in as well. This cast is looking pretty damn good, dude. I mean, Lopez, we have, I know Chewy and Mike, we share your thoughts, but Lopez, you hear Joker. We haven't gotten your thoughts as far as what you think. Is this something you're excited about? You're looking forward to it, or is this...
No, absolutely. This is probably the only Joker, depending on, you know, what comes along with the other Joker movies or what's being announced in the other ones. This is right. Probably the one that I would watch, you know, mostly because of Joaquin Phoenix, you know, and
yeah.
So, you know, if he drives any other, you know, low budget independent films like Her, remember that one?
Yes, great movie. He was great.
Yeah. So absolutely. He can absolutely drive this film as well. So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think the focus on just the Joker. This is not a. Anyway, Ethan Hawke will be happy hearing this. This is not a typical superhero movie. That can be something different, unique. You know, maybe like independent vibe. I think I'm starting to really like what's going on here. And I like the whole Thomas Wayne thing. And I don't want to see Batman in this. Am I wrong? Am I the only one who is on that page? Like, does anybody want to see Batman in this movie? Or any?
Want to see or not?
Or I don't want to see Batman. I don't want any like, oh, here's little, you know, Bruce Wayne or anything. I don't want to see that. You know, it's just Joker. I mean, you got the Alec Baldwin connection tied into the Thomas Wayne, to the Wayne Gotham world line. But that's as far as I kind of want to see it. Does anybody want to see Batman in this at all? Should he be in it?
I guess not.
I don't think if Thomas Wayne's in it, Batman can't be in it, right?
I mean, I guess it depends on what. Like, I mean, this is an independent story, and Batman could be 20 years old for all we know, 25. I mean, I don't know. Like, they haven't said anything. He could, I don't know, maybe he's a teenager. He's young, 20, early 20s. I assume him and the Joker were the same age. I don't know. Maybe I'm just guessing by the comics, whatever. I don't know. But if you're going to make a DC one-off movie, you know, different universe, whatever they call them, I prefer just do a Joker movie and just do a Joker movie. You know, I heard this. It's actually a cool idea. This is just someone just threw it out there. But they said that Thomas Wayne, you know, adultery and his actual son is Joaquin Phoenix's character. And there's going to be a clash between that. I'm not saying that's what it's going to be, but I'm saying that's interesting, to say the least. And he disowned him. That's why he's mad. And that, you know, that kind of thing comes up. So that's interesting. I, you know, something along those lines. Okay, I'm in, dude. I'm in. And Joaquin Phoenix is awesome. You're right, Lopez. He's great when he does the small movies. He's really good. He was great in Gladiator too. That's probably his biggest
movie. He was.
Yeah, his biggest movie. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see that. I can't wait to see a trailer. That's gonna be as I said. That's no John Wick 3, but it's definitely creeping up the list around there.
Slow your roll, dude. Slow your roll.
And a Joker's on a horse too. I'm all over it. he's shooting Batman in the head for sure. But let's get to some game here, because we're not doing any TV stuff. We're gonna wait till next week. We have a lot of shows coming out. We got Better Call Saul. We can watch a couple episodes, get into that. Ozark 2, which you talked about earlier. We got Jack Ryan. I know we're excited about Mike. I know Mike's all over that one. On Amazon coming out the same weekend, the same day as Ozark 2.
I'm really pumped.
So we're gonna do a game. We're gonna do a special, and I got special things for all you guys here. A special gun to your head. But we're doing it Sophie's Choice style.
Okay.
So we're going to make some tough decisions here. We're taking two iconic films, and you got to choose. You have to eradicate one movie from the history of movies. All right? And this isn't, you know, Hunger Games, Twilight, Mike. We're talking about some serious films that we like. So let me set the stage. I got a few for the whole group and a few for you guys individually. So let's start with the whole group. We'll start with Lopez, and we'll go around to Mike and then Chewy. So here's the first one, Lopez. You got to choose one, and the other one has to be eradicated from the history books. It never existed. Aliens or Terminator 2?
Oh, jeez. Wow.
Sophie's Choice, man. This is what I'm talking about, dude.
All right, so we got Aliens and Terminator 2.
Which one you keep, which one gets erased?
Both iconic films in their own mind. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna go based off of my experience when I first saw the film in the movie theater, which one I enjoyed the most, because I would keep both, obviously, but
right.
I think most of you would. So my experience with Aliens, I was a kid, I think it was your second time watching it, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, we went to the theater, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yep, and just that whole film was just amazing, violent. You got your woman, you know, hero, which she was a hero in the first one, but, you know, she was even more of a hero in this one. She was badass. Mm-hmm. You got some iconic characters that joined her. Yeah,
Bill
T2. Yeah, Bill Paxton.
Late great Bill Paxton.
Late great Bill Paxton. Game over, man.
So keep me with Aliens. James Cameron coming through. You know, one of his first great action films.
First great sequel, too.
Both
great sequels. Both amazing sequels.
Absolutely. Amazing. So Sophie's Choice, Hard Choice, give me Aliens.
Wow. Does anybody differ from that?
I know I'm Aliens all the way. It's a way better movie. It also
way better. Wow, okay. Wow.
I'm just going to say that I think time has been good to it, too. So that's another... I don't think that Terminator 2 is as great today as it was 20 years ago.
I seen both of them in the last month, and they're both still fantastic. Yeah.
But Aliens is better. I just think it's written better.
I don't know. I mean,
the thing that sucks about Aliens is they screwed up the whole thing with Alien 3. So,
well, that's not part of the equation. I mean, Chewie, what do you have? Are you in line with these guys?
Oh yeah, I'm Aliens all the way, man. It's a hard choice, but okay. I mean, let me say, I own Aliens. I don't own T2. That says it all.
Wow. Okay. Fair enough. I thought someone was going to choose. I was close. We'll go with Aliens 2 as well. If, you know, gun to my head. Because, I mean, yeah. I mean, I love just the aliens itself. The Xenomorphs are fantastic. That's iconic. I mean, I mean, it's Arnold, man. But I get it. It's hard. The next one here, Mike, we'll go with you. Lead with you.
I'm ready.
Back to the Future or Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Wow, that is tough, man. I'm going to have to say Back to the Future because it's just such a classic movie. Raiders of the Lost Ark is a great movie, but Back to the Future is iconic.
Interesting. Anybody different from that?
You know what? Nobody quotes anything from Raiders of the Lost Ark. Everybody hits somebody in the head and goes, come on, McFly! You know, sorry.
Hello?
Wow.
Make like a tree and get out of here.
Such a tough choice. Does anybody differ?
Yes, I do.
Oh, you're going to the Raiders of the Lost Ark. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going Raiders. I think the Indiana Jones is more of an iconic character. That's a big part of it. You got Steven Spielberg helming it. That's a huge part of it as well. I think Raiders of the Lost Ark is a more complete film. Where, not to say that Back to the Future isn't, but it leaves you hanging at the end. So if I were to eradicate one of the two, goodbye Back to the Future, give me the complete film, give me the, you know, that wonderful adventure, you know, they're both good adventures, but give me that wonderful adventure, I'll stick to Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Interesting. Chewie?
Oh, man, I know. You guys make great points, man. They're both iconic films for their time and for the genre and for the movie. I mean, everyone talk about a DeLorean, you know what you're talking about, right? I mean, sure. There's no doubt about that. But the Raiders of the Lost Ark, I mean, you know, the whole...
the opening sequence?
Yeah, the opening sequence.
The ball rolling, of course. Iconic.
Yeah, I mean, they still have that at Disney, or maybe they don't, I don't even know. But, yeah, probably. But the Ark of the Covenant, I mean, you know, before that, you were like, yeah, whatever. And, like, you know, since then, it's like, everybody knows what the Ark is, right?
I mean, yeah, I this was tough, man. I love both movies. I went Raiders just because it gave us a more iconic character, and obviously Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Which led to more other good movies, great movies. You know, the Temple of Doom and Last Crusade, when I mentioned the fourth one. Back to the Future, the sequels, which were fine, you know, but if I don't never saw them, okay, fine. Yeah. But the other ones, the whole entire series, I gotta go Raiders. It's close. It's really close, though. I love both of the movies. Oh, man, Chewie, we'll start with you. This one is a nice one. Jurassic Park or The Matrix?
God.
I got some good ones, don't I? It's no easy choice.
I love dinosaurs. Who doesn't love dinosaurs, Dave?
Who doesn't?
But I know classic Spielberg, you know, spawned so many movies, good and bad.
True, fair.
Some more bad than good. But, you know, I can say this on the flip side of The Matrix, where, you know, the 2 and 3 were not as good by far. But I think comparing the two films, I think I'm going Matrix. I think it's just a personal preference of what I prefer. You know, Robot Uprising, unique twist and take on the genre. Definitely, you know, cutting edge CGI for the time and the way they I mean, now it's here. After
the
that,
stop motion. Copied
it. Yeah, the stop motion. And so it had so many unique features. And the story, for me, was unique. It borrowed from a lot of elements, but the way they put it together and they kind of they gave you that aha moment. Whereas Jurassic Park, you know, yeah, it's a great film. It's entertaining. It's dinosaurs. But it's not like, you know, it's not at the level of Matrix as far as how that twist came about. It just is.
It's tough. I don't even know how to answer, to be honest with you. Mike, what do you keep in mind?
I'm with Chewie. I think it's definitely Matrix. You know, as long as we're not talking definitely. Two okay. or three, I'm good. I think the Matrix is pretty no, close no, just, to being just a perfect movie.
No, just one by itself.
Lopez?
Yeah, the Jurassic Park is classic, iconic popcorn summer film, you know? Steven Spielberg, it's solid. You know, he some groundbreaking special effects and dinosaurs and the whole, you know, majestic of seeing them, you know, supposedly in person. That was cool. But you can't go wrong with, you know, going with Matrix and the how in depth it is and, you know, just the filmmaking and you know, just everything behind the Matrix.
The look, where you the feel, the look, lines. Everything. I mean, every little detail was telling you what was going on.
Exactly.
You didn't see it to the end.
You guys convinced me. In Matrix. I'll go over with The Matrix. Yeah, it's tough. That was, yeah.
It's tough, dude. But it's not that tough.
And Ugo Weaving,
I love
dude.
Jurassic
Come
Park.
On, dude.
No, I'm not saying you're right. Not, but I'm just saying. Matrix, yeah. No, you're right. Matrix was more of a landmark film in terms of pushing the movie genre, the movie industry forward and all that. So I agree. We're going to skip a few bits of time, but I'm going to save a couple for the next time. But I'm going to try to hit every genre for the most part. Lopez, this is just for you now, since you're the horror guy.
Yeah.
So we got Halloween or The Exorcist.
It's funny because just last week, I rewatched Halloween, the original.
Okay, good for you.
Yeah, two reasons. One, to Alejandro, my son, to have him watch it for the first time.
Okay.
And the other was to get ready for the sequel, you know, the true sequel coming out soon.
Very excited.
So, of course, yeah, we're all excited about it, or horror geeks. So, you got Halloween, and you said The Exorcist.
Yes.
Man, so tough. only because The Exorcist stays with you for such a long time after you finish watching it for the first time. Yeah, I remember watching that film as a child, and man, I had nightmares for a month. I remember thinking that, you know, The Exorcist was like floating and she was like chasing me down the street. You know, that's how scared I was of her. But if you think about, you know, its impact to the horror genre. Man, Sophie's Choice. This is super hard because Exorcist, obviously you got devil possession. It was so well made, the makeup and all that good stuff, you know, just true horror. And then Halloween, just with the music alone, it terrifies you in the atmosphere.
The best score in horror movie history, easily.
Absolutely. It's probably the best one. Yeah, absolutely. Groundbreaking. Who's ever seen that first, you know, that was, it also groundbroke, you know, seen from the eyes of the serial killer or the killer, that very first, scene, iconic scene. So tough. Oh my God. But you know what? I wasn't as scared watching Halloween this time. 25, whatever, how many years it was later.
Been longer than that, but yeah.
Yeah, probably. And
I think it's 40 years.
So
I don't know. Either way.
Yeah, it's so tough, but I'm inching over to The Exorcist.
Wow.
Just for the fact how it makes you feel, the true horror of it, and you know what I felt afterwards, and how it stuck on me versus Halloween. You know, Halloween, I was scared to death. When I watched the film, you know, I remember my uncle throwing a pillow on me and scaring me half to death. You know, one of the most, you know, the scenes towards the end. But it's a classic. But I'm inching once again. It's an inch towards Exorcist.
Yeah, I'm gonna go the other way. I'm gonna go Halloween.
Okay.
I still think it's for me the best one ever made, and the music, it's iconic. People know that. I mean, a song, everybody knows the song. It comes on whether you've seen the movie or not. The mask, Michael Myers, and like I said, a lot of times, like Chewie mentioned, the personal connection you make, you know, with some movies and all that. One of the first I ever seen. It's the first one I ever showed my niece, and she's a huge horror fan ever since. She was like 7 years old at the time. So I always have that. So for me, it's definitely Halloween. Real quick, before we move on to Mike, Evil Dead or Scream? Evil Dead 2 or Scream?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And it's for Lopez. It's for Lopez.
No, I know.
Oh, okay. So Evil Dead 2 or Scream, right?
Yeah.
Give me Evil Dead 2, man.
Evil Dead 2. It's just, yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Good answer.
Blend of horror and true comedy.
Yeah.
And an iconic character, you know. Yes, Ghostface Killer is iconic as well, but you can't go wrong with Ash.
Yeah, Evil Dead 2 is amazing. It's still, yeah, you're right, because it works on multiple levels. Comedy, I'm gonna give this to Mike. Two quick ones. We got Old School or Groundhog Day?
Oh, definitely Groundhog Day. That's too easy.
Wow, that easy.
Wow, easy. Dude.
Wow, I don't know if it's that easy. Okay.
Yeah, dude, earmuffs,
man.
We're streaking through the quad.
That's what I'm saying. This is the best of where Pharaoh Vince Vaughn at the peak of the powers, if you will.
You're my boy, wow. Blue.
That Blue.
No, dude.
Easy. I mean, I don't mind the choice, yeah, but it's not easy.
Groundhog Day is just really a great movie, man.
I love Groundhog Day.
I don't put Old School in a great movie category. I think it's a good movie. I think it's funny. You know, there's a lot of iconic moments in it, but it's not a great movie.
Okay. Jeez. And another real quick. I know you're a Mel Brooks guy. Young Frankenstein or Blazing Saddles?
I'm going to say Blazing Saddles because it's just ridiculous. I love Young Frankenstein, but Blazing Saddles is way more funny.
Young Frankenstein. Lopez?
Yeah, Young Frankenstein for sure.
Yeah. And what about Old School Groundhog Day?
Give me Old School. I think it's cool.
You really? Okay, Chewie, you're Old School too? I think you are, no?
Dude, I don't...
That's tough, man. What's that first step?
It's a doozy. No, I guess I'll go Groundhog Day, but on the Mel Brooks, I'm definitely going Young Frankenstein.
Young Frankenstein. I love Blazing Saddles, but Young Frankenstein.
It's a great movie. Wow. I just think that Blazing Saddles is a little more...
My bruh.
That's tough. All right, we're going to skip a few of these because we're short on time. But let me go to Chewie first. I haven't done his personal ones. And Chewie, since you're a TV guy, we're doing TV with you here.
All right, nice.
So we'll do some recent stuff because old time is just too hard. So right now, choose to watch one. The other one is canceled. Westworld or Mr. Robot? Getting your hurts.
Mr. Robot. I'm sorry. Mr. Robot's the better show.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
Wow. I agree with him, by the way.
Especially after season two. I mean, that just seals the deal. It's a much better show.
Okay. Fair enough.
But I love both. Sorry, Westworld. Sorry, HBO.
No. I got you. Better Call Saul or Counterpart?
Oh, dude. I mean, well, it's not fair because it's one season versus four.
Well, as far as this assume, they're going to cancel it right now. So based on what you've seen,
give me Counterpart. Sorry, give me Counterpart. Wow. Sorry.
Okay. Wow.
Give me Counterpart, dude.
Okay.
Dude, all right. I was not joking when I said.
All right, relax.
Show of 2018. Okay.
Okay. Fair enough.
Better last season of Game of Thrones. That says a lot. All okay. right.
Fair enough. And then we got one more here. We'll do since it's a quick Daredevil or Stranger Things.
Daredevil's. Oh, well, I guess all together, right?
Sure, all together.
Two seasons each.
Yep. Mano a mano.
Can I take the bullet?
There's no bullet, dude. That's not part of Sophie's choice, dude. One or the other, dude.
You know, just because I like the Marvel, you know, superhero genre more than the Stranger Things fantasy. So I'm gonna go Daredevil. But I mean, I love both shows, man. Don't cancel either one, please.
I'm just saying, hey, if it happens, dude, I'll blame you, dude.
They brought back Samwise Ganges, man. Come on.
I have some for George. George will join us next week. I got a text. So I'll save the George ones for next week and a couple of the ones we're missing. But we'll do just a couple more, just to, real quick, on the Epic side. And we'll go around the circle. Start with Chewy, then Mike, then Lopez. On the Epic side, Braveheart, Gladiator.
Braveheart.
Okay. Mike?
Braveheart.
Ah, Lopez.
Braveheart for the violence.
It's a better movie, too.
Braveheart. Yeah, you're right, Braveheart. But it's close though. It's close. On the animation side, let's start with Lopez, Mike, then Chewie.
Okay.
Toy Story or The Lion King?
Toy Story, just for its groundbreaking and how it made you feel when you watched it. Feel like a kid, you know, watching your toys come to life. Absolutely. Wow.
Okay. Mike?
Well, dude, that's not kid stuff, though, for me, because I was already grown up on the...
It's animation. Well, it's fine, though. You get a different perspective watching both movies.
Yeah, Lion King, I guess.
Wow, okay. Chewie?
Toy Story. Easy choice.
No, I'm not saying it's... relax. But Toy Story, Toy Story does edge. But for me, anyway, it's the beginning of Pixar. Changed the animation forever. I gotta give it now because of that. And last one here, this is just for Mike. Arnold or Cruise? Tom Cruise.
Oh, Tom Cruise, without a doubt, in a walk.
Really? Wow. So I'm talking about the catalog of movies.
You can erase all
of Arnold's movies. Okay.
Wow. Arnold's got some really bad stinkers in there, dude.
Lopez, do you agree with that?
I think so.
Let's talk, man. Talking about the Predator.
Look, I'm just going to say this.
I mean...
Top Gun, man. And A Few Good Men are better than anything Arnold ever did anytime.
Relax, calm down. It's not better than Terminator 2.
What? You must be crazy.
Come on. Top Gun or Terminator 2? Come on. Relax.
Yeah, you're eating. But, I mean,
A Few Good Men.
Arnold does have it in his collection, you know.
Total Recall.
He's got some running. Shit. Yeah. Commando. Come on, dude.
Oh, God.
All
Commando.
These movies are Eraser.
Whoa.
Eraser. Oh,
terrible.
My God.
But I erase it from the mind, but whatever. But we got True Lies, which is great.
Great. James Cameron flick.
Great. Come on. Total Recall, The Running. Oh, The Running Man's cheesy, but it's cheesy in the 80s.
Well. Oh, but it's cheesy, but it's great
it's
cheese.
It's great. Kindergarten Cop, Twin. Come on, man.
Aratuma.
Twins is terrible, though. Junior is even
worse. It's not terrible,
worse.
Dude. It's not. Junior's terrible.
Oh,
I'll give you that.
What's terrible? The one where he's pregnant? Oh, God.
That's Junior.
Oh, Junior.
Junior.
That's awful. You know what?
And the one was
that. Yeah, you're
right. The one was
Sinbad. Jingle all the way. You're right. I'm going Cruise. it's Cruise. Yeah. I can't. I love Arnold. Don't be wrong, dude. We'll make it easier. Arnold or Stallone?
Oh, that's even.
Arnold,
yeah.
Arnold.
Although Sly did, you know, Rambo's a really good fucking movie.
First Blood, the Rocky series.
Rocky and the second Rocky are awesome.
Dude,
Stallone has so much more crap in his catalog. It's not.
No, he really does.
Cash.
Cobra, Throw Mama Down the Drain, terrible.
I mean,
Cobra's
terrible.
All the Expendables are terrible.
Stallone took down, dude, Russia, dude. The wall came down because of Stallone, dude. We all can change. Don't you remember, dude? If he can change.
Yeah,
like,
yes.
Change, we can all change. Come on, Mike. Come on. So that was interesting. I kind of like that. I want to say something for the next show because we're running out of time, and I got something just for George and all that. But that was cool. I kind of like the A1's take on that. But that being said, we'll end the show on that note. We'll make the round over. Lopez, any parting words for yourself?
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on again. Appreciate it. Felt like I haven't left. so I appreciate it. I appreciate, you know, spending some time with you guys. I listen to you guys every single week. Nice. And so thank you. Thank you for having me on. Shout out to my immediate family, my wife, Anna, my kids, Alejandro, Sarah. You know, love you guys. And, you know, appreciate having some great time with you guys and talking movies. So
I'm glad we were able to repop that cherry, metaphorically speaking, of course.
Oh, so good.
Sounds like a personal problem.
Mike, any parting shots?
No, I hate everybody this week except for Robert.
We love Robert. Everyone loves Robert.
No love for Robert Floyd this week, I guess.
Haters Corner, dude.
Robert is Barbara Floyd.
He's got Happy Hour coming out with Ethan Hawke and Jodie Foster in about 10 minutes. Right. Mike's got to go.
Oh, my God.
Chewie, what do you got, man?
I'm going to go try to watch Valerian. I need to sleep.
God. Good luck with that.
That's terrible. Just quick reminder, September, we got Iron Fist dropping, Maniacs, Mayans on FX. So I'm getting some good feedback from that. Atypical. And the Gift are coming back on Fox at the end of September.
A lot of stuff coming up. It's the fall season, you know how it goes.
Yeah. I'm not counting Ozark. I mean, that's August technically, and so is Jack Ryan, so that's part of August. But September is shaping up to be a nice month with some good TV coming out.
Nice. Lots to get into, I'm sure. When it's there, of course, everyone check out Facebook. We put the latest trailers, news, and soon to be a John Wick 3 pictures. we enjoy everyone's comments, and we'll see you guys next week. Thanks again, guys. Appreciate it.
Peace.
Later.
All right.